you look at the Rock and Roll Express here, and you're like, oh, Ricky Bourne, he looks like he's getting up there in age there. He is 38 in that match.
Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrett Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. Joining me this week is my co-host.
Hey, it's Erica, she, they. I got roped into a fun week.
You picked a hell of a one. And this week's esteemed absolute victim is...
Vin, he, they.
Welcome, Vin, he, they.
Yes. Should I plug? I'm always like, I'm so bad at like plugging my own stuff. Like, should I plug things or
plug things here? Tell the people who you are and what you do and all of that. Cause otherwise I'll just have something generic and no one likes that.
Yeah. I did a podcast for a long time called Wrestle Rap. And, I still do some podcasting. Me and Mike Sempervivi from, Wrestling Observer fame. We do something on the Black Wrestling Patreon called Bulls in a China Shop, where we watch a lot of like the worst of wrestling and wrestling related ephemera. And then mostly I do writing, which you can find at vinforte.substack.com. So go subscribe to that because it's free and you get two articles a week. And there's also a small paid tier if you would like. But go there right now because there's great stuff up. What's up there? A lot of music video reviews. I got a thing up there about the Gray album, the 20-year anniversary of that right now. Brian Wilson, rest in peace. Oh. Got a thing about him and Anxiety up. So
hold
go
on, hold check on, that out. Hold on. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, no, rest in peace, Brian Wilson. Yes, also, what with the Anxiety? 20-year anniversary of the Gray album?
Wow.
21, technically.
I need to lay down. Oh, my God. I remember when that shit broke my wee little brain right on down. And that was, oh my God. Folks were old. Fuck. All right. Well, that was good. It seems you say you're no good at promoting yourself. That was fantastic. Folks, go read shit. Give Vin money. You know how I feel about you.
Right, follow me on the Blue Sky too, Vin Forte, at whatever, you know, the Blue Sky handle.
Yeah, I'll make you do it again at the end. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So you kind of already answered what if any question that we give for new guests relationship to wrestling. You've been dating. You know each other. You're familiar. You've been intimate.
Oh yeah. Me and wrestling been making stains.
So it will not be a exposition heavy one because it will be all of us here going, oh God. And on that note, you were ready to get into it before we even started. You called your shot before I even got the recorder in here. You want to talk Nitro?
Yeah, this was like a tale of two wildly different types of wrestling shows this week.
Because
at this specific point in 1996, June 1996, this June is like
23rd. Yes.
24th. Yeah, 24th. Yeah, so it is right before Bash at the Beach. So we're right up to the line right now, right before the NWO. So that's everything where WCW is at, where like they're about to explode.
Liminal. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They're about to explode. They've got that hot cruiserweight scene that's propelling them, you know, a little further as well. And then you switch over to WWF at the time, and it's like I've thought this for a long time, even like as a teenager and even as a kid, even though I probably shouldn't have known what I'm about to talk about was, but that I always thought that the mid-90s WWF aesthetic is very like softcore porn. It's very like smoky, but like not fun smoky. It's like they have that six-man tag on Raw that we watched, and like all the outfits are god awful. Like Savio Vega looks like he's wearing fucking construction paper. Like it just looks really cheap.
I mean, yeah, we'll get there, but yeah, no, Raw was going into silk stockings too, so like it very much was,
yeah,
yeah, like it kind of sort of was, yeah. So we'll start with Nitro, where it still graps, live from the Queen City, nonetheless. It's we're in Flair country. It's going to be a woo heavy episode. They starting with the Blazer Boys, Tony and Larry, living legend. And sure enough, like you said, man, they're right away getting things hyped for Bash at the Beach. And what a better way to do that than showing us Bischoff getting fucked up again.
Yeah, this episode was a lot of like the threat of the outsiders was all over this episode. Like most of the matches,
it's a through line.
And this would normally, most of the matches you would this would normally be a complaint. But like, they're not talking about the matches during the matches during this episode.
Like, they don't even show the two guys until the end of the show. Like you think about how, like, in modern wrestling, they'd always be like, "Oh, they pulled up outside."
Yeah,
I was waiting for them there, but like, they didn't. They just said, "We heard they're here. We got security. Everybody's on edge."
Oh, and what security they had?
Yeah. Oh my god! Wow.
Holy shit. But no, that's the thing, is that they're through all of it. It's like, it, not even at first, they're just showing you like, hey, this is what's going on. And but as soon as the grabs start, they're like, y'all, we're hearing they're in there, you know, like, and the whole thing is about this. Like, so for sure enough, before we even get to that, Mean Gene's in the locker. He's stimulating WCW's three main men here. We got Randall Savage, Stinger, and Lex, and they are united by the face paint of the Stinger. It's downright cute. They're all I love when you got a little uniform, you know?
Yeah. Whenever they match Sting's face paint, it's always like, yes!
Yeah!
This fucking Stanley Ipkiss mask ass face paint. Like, they're all like, and then they're interviewing, like, they Macho cuts a fine promo, but then they cut to Lex and immediately he's like, the WCW, it's like, come on, Lex. Like, you can't get out the correct, like, call letters. Like,
it's been a year. It's been a year, Lex.
Yeah, it's been a year, Lex. Come on. I think he was just in awe because Macho killed it so hard. Like, he cuts his...
Oh, he did.
He's like, I gotta leave. I gotta go kick Wall Street's ass. He's just like, walks off.
He's wearing that hat that has, like, a bunch of smooches on it. Like, I don't know. Did he go around the locker room? It was like... Like, kiss my hat. Like, I don't know. Like, that hat was wild. Give it a little smooch. Come on.
For good luck. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. So, no, it works. He's off. And those two, they can't. You leave Lex. I literally wrote that, like, Sting and Lex just cut a stinker. Just a big old stink. Like, everything about this sucks. And then it gets interrupted by Steiner Brothers. And I was like, all right. And then Harlem comes out. I'm like, oh, yeah. There's a lot of meat in this small 90s frame here.
Jeans
by man meat. Like, what the fuck?
I was gonna say, like the Steiners come in, and the whole time they're just blocking the front. You can't see a thing once
you can't see anything. It's just
Steiner's biceps, and then
just wall to wall meat. where the big boys play and block the camera, like meat on meat.
Where that Outrunner style old ratio and everything, and it's just, there's not a lot of room for all that meat. We come back for graps though, and Larry drops a steaming hot pile of commentary. He says the Surgeon General warns that fighting any of those three teams is hazardous to your health. Tony, God loves him, he just no sells it like he should. He just moves right. Like, I'm not even going to fucking dignify with a response.
I had completely forgotten about this. Like, they made such a big deal in this episode, and I guess in every episode around this time, about, like, it's hour one of Nitro, and then they had, like, a little 10-second countdown at the end. Like, we're entering hour two of Nitro in 10 seconds. Now 5 seconds. Larry Zbyszko, get the fuck out of here. My brain's coming in. Like,
yeah, they wanted to make a big deal out of it still. And I don't know when that ends, but it's silly to me every time. Not this episode, but sometimes, one of the first times they did, you get, like, pyro going off and shit in the middle of the match. And I'm just like, this is like, this is stupid. I don't like this.
I remember, at least from this period, I remember when Raw goes 2 hours, it'll be like Warzone and then Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Raw is War. So the first hour would be Raw. But at least with that, it always felt like, to give WWF a little credit at that time, once they started doing that, it felt like Raw was like the setup. And then you would watch, and it was like War Zone's like where the action is. It's the War Zone.
I don't remember there ever being like that kind of like, we're going to have like this big announcement. There's a countdown clock. There's pyro.
Yeah, it's not New Year's Eve. Like, we don't need this big countdown just for hour two of Nitro.
I mean, I guess it's still new for them, but
yeah, I think at this point they're really it's a matter of them kind of smelling their own farts on the fact that they went 2 hours and Raw hadn't yet. Like, yeah, they're just really, really wanting to throw it in your face that we did it and you didn't. And like, you know, ride that while you can. We get opening graps, though, back to the wrestling of it all. And this is a weird opening match.
Yeah.
Ooh, la-di-da-di, we likes to potty. The public enemy comes out and they are extra public enemy. And it's them versus the Blue Bloods.
Yeah, this is like complete thrown together BS. And like, I don't know if it was before this match or they cut a promo after, but there's a part where they do like the picture in picture of Public Enemy like cutting a promo. Yeah. And like, I don't know if they were just not saying anything, but or there was a technical issue, but like they were like hemming and hawing about something, and then all of a sudden they start laughing. And I'm like, you could hear the laughter, but everything before that you couldn't. And it was like, what is this?
Difficulties.
Live TV.
But then, well, okay, so there's that, but then what fucked with my head even further is once they got to the ring and they were like jaw jacking on the ringside, they were talking, you still couldn't understand what they were saying.
No.
Because they just don't know how to fucking talk. Like, it was like,
yeah, that is. Ah, blah,
blah, blah. It's like, what did you just say? What did Rocco Rock just say? Like,
no, Johnny Grunge just cuts out. Like, he just peeks.
Yeah. You know? Like, I couldn't tell if it was from the version I was watching and like they just, because they definitely had dubbed over music for them, but like the crowd looked into it, but you couldn't hear it. So like, I do think that a lot of like,
oh, there were a lot of white boys that were into
that. Oh yeah. They liked waving their hands. I don't necessarily think they liked Public Enemy.
No, they were just like, this is the kind of hip hop we can get behind. Like,
no, they liked the idea of someone having violence done upon them, and they came out with like a dog collar. So like,
yeah,
that's their thing. They come out with a dog collar, and I'm like, oh shit, do we get a?
I thought we were getting a dog collar match.
Yeah, I got really excited about that.
Open a Nitro of a dog collar match?
Like, and I was like, I know Sullivan got his head knocked around bad by Benoit, but what is this booking? Like, what? Like, no, they're just getting us hyped for when they're going to do it against the Nasty Boys at a pay-per-view. And I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, I don't want to see that. Like,
If I never see another Public Enemy versus Nasty Boys match, it'll be too soon.
That's what I'm saying.
Did they throw those two teams together so often just because it was like
mirror opposites of each other?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, you could literally have them swap clothes and they're the exact same team.
That had to be it.
Yeah, we often say that Public Enemy is just a cultural appropriation Nasty Boys. It's just like, it's not good. And it's just the same thing. And it's just an Italian man with braids, and it's not okay. they don't suck. That's the thing. This match, I will give this. I wrote down, this match fucks. The thing I've been trying to tell people, whether or not, just to sum it up, I think watching or not, I'm actually going to say watch this. All four of these guys are really good at their jobs, minus a little bit of early awkwardness. And like, I was done expecting that of Public Enemy because they keep throwing them in matches against Nasty Boys. And I'm like, I just don't want to see this anymore. And that's all they seem to have for us. So like, at first, I started this saying, like, what the fuck is this? The Blue Bloods? But by the end of it, I was like, yeah. Like, let's do more of that, please. Because this is, I found myself in entertained by a Public Enemy match for the first time in months, basically. And I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for it, too, as far as like notable bits. Rocco Rock does a moonsault like a some like wild like standing moonsault shit. Like he tries.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I was like, I've never seen him do that in his WCW run.
And he does it like twice. It was still Rocco, not Johnny. Regal hits the walkaway, the Samoa Joe spot on Rocco Rock, who does a standing lion salt on him. And then like Regal just kind of like dances at him, pawning. I'm like, this is great. Like, this is graps. This is fantastic. I love everything about it. I'm not used to liking Public Enemy this much. But how did this overall treat you guys?
I liked it. Like you said, it was a surprising opening act in every which way but loose. Like it was, I wasn't expecting these two teams, but this is what we got. And then what we ended up actually getting was like a surprising amount of offense from Public Enemies.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah, it was, I was not expecting it. Public Enemy actually looked good. And then Regal was just being a complete bastard. He's doing his like little, he was doing his little dance to Mac, make fun of him. He's like, yes, go, Steve, go.
Like,
be
like
that bitch.
Talking shit at the American crowd.
Right. Like, and Dave Taylor is really good as well. He's not quite like the level of petty bitch that Regal is able to accomplish as a heel in the ring. But like, this was like so much fun.
It was fun. He's no Earl of Eaton. I'll say that. Yeah. but no, it was a fantastically good time as far as a match that I was not expecting that from at all. If only for the moonsault of it all. The finish, though, Grunge hits Taylor behind the ref's back with cast Owen Hart style for the win. And I'm like, you know, I appreciate it. in the end, yeah. You still got to be a nasty. If not a nasty boy. But yeah, the other notable thing for me, though, is the Chuckle Fucks specifically going out of their way to be like, they saw them, folks. They're in the parking lot. Yeah. like, immediately. Like you said, I took note of it later. Every segment, there's at least a mention of these guys are somewhere and I'm scared. And like, that's, they're on it. It's good stuff. Speaking of on it, though, we come back. Taskmaster is power walking to the ring like they're giving away free Dunkins. Like, he's just gold.
I've never seen Kevin Sullivan move like this on television.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. I see him running with those fucking like the painted on eyebrows that make him look like he's just shocked all the time. Like he's power walking to the ring. Like Benoit's doing what with my wife? Like
yeah, exactly.
So upset.
It's like ever since they went to the men's room and beat the shit out of each other last weekend. Like he's been different. something's wrong with Kevin. We need to
something happens.
Yeah.
Something happens when you go in and then come out of that men's room.
Yeah, and sure enough, it happens again. It's notable.
Makes a like, man out of Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah. He power walks into Kip Abey, who is jobbing out for him tonight. He gets no entry. I tried to look up Kip Abey and I couldn't find much of anything. It doesn't bode well. But yeah, Sullivan just attacks him.
Oh, that was a great when he is like a full steam train ahead. Like when he gets done with his power walk, grabs him, immediately throws him through the barricade.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, I'm wrestling.
Yeah, no, we're not wrestling. This isn't wrestling. I'm taking you to the bathroom. I need you to go to the bathroom.
and then they proceed to like the on commentary now, like that they're not in the ring, they're all of a sudden like into this match.
Oh, but yeah.
Like, because they make such a big deal about they're not going to go in the women's room. Don't go in the women's room. It's well, like, oh my God.
Shit. If it's in the ring, it's bullshit, you know? But now it's, yeah, now it matters.
Right. And then they throw him on the 90s ass, like, Subway sandwich stand.
Yeah. The concession stand. Larry comment or some shit. But yeah, there's no wrestling here. Like this is, it's a DQ. Like the match barely even starts. He just tries to throw him in the bed, then the women's room again.
It's just a straight up beating.
Yeah, just a beating. So they come back from commercial, And we've managed to get Boston Bob into the ring for some exposition corner with Gene. First thing he asks Jimmy Hart is, why is your boss obsessed with bathroom?
Yeah.
Like, even Gene's like, what the fuck? Like,
What is this gimmick, man?
what's going on here? I mean, I trust you, Booker, man. But, like, what the fuck is going on here? So Jimmy and Kevin both tried to talk some shit, but the Carolina crowd does not fucking care. They drown them out with We Want Flair.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, like all throughout the show. Because you have to figure, like, the one thing we have to remember is that if you're in the crowd, you're not getting all the commentary exposition about the outsiders. So you're just there watching whatever people are coming out next. So in your head, you're like, all you saw if you were in that crowd is Kevin Sullivan power walked out, threw a guy through the stands, then left the arena, which you cannot see because you're in the stands. And then came back and now they're talking about like
bathroom.
Like I would chant We Want Flair too. Like
I feel like this is Charlotte, baby. Like, what are we doing here? You guys know what we want. What are you giving us this?
Women's room. Like, no.
Oh, Jimmy says if he hears Ric Flair say he's gonna fuck those women one more time, he's gonna choke himself to death. And I think to myself, promise?
I think to myself, what a wonderful world that would be.
Yeah.
Fortunately, history didn't turn out the way we wanted it.
Because you know he did. It's ridiculous. This whole, whatever. I'm with the crowd. You're leaving me one player. And that's like, what? So, yeah, finally, back to some, like, good old actual grapses. And fucking hard work Bobby Walker, baby. I like this guy.
Bobby Walker.
Yeah, he's got spunk. He's like, it's like, you know what, hard work Bobby Walker? You're not going to win this match, but you're putting in hard work.
Yeah. Thank you. You ripped him right off my notes. I was like, unfortunately, D. Malenko's going to kill you. But, fuck yeah, I like this guy. And, wild match. It's like a 4.5 minute.
Doggo alert. There is a dog in the arena.
Dog in the arena. So sorry.
Hide Kevin Sullivan.
My day job is a hound of hell. I swear she's a sweetheart. She just also has zero boundaries when it comes to yelling at people in the hallway. Basically,
she's getting all riled up. I heard someone went into the ladies' room and shouldn't have.
Like, yeah, what the hell?
What'd you do to the subway stand?
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Well,
why'd Subway get rid of the V cut?
Yeah. Right. Oh my God, asking the real questions, man.
This is this is. We're turning this podcast into Pablo Torre finds out. We need to know.
God.
Metalark Media, come on, back the truck up to Monday Night Fake Fights.
We'll have you in a reoccurring fucking segment. like you come on and be like, Vin figured this shit out. Whatever happened to Sega Genesis? Sega Saturn.
Hey, exactly.
Oh, there you go. Holy shit, I want that V cut back. All right, the dog is done. Folks, if you hear a dog, she's adorable. There's nothing wrong with her. She's just like that. This match, where we were, love Bobby, Bobby Walker. It's a weird match though. Like Malenko, I'm no firmly shaping himself up from tweener, no nonsense grappler into I'm blatantly doing heel shit. And I kind of love this. Like he takes a powder. I'm like, Dean Malenko doesn't take powders. Like this is weird. But then speaking of fucking weird, I don't really know what to say about this match overall. Because Disco.
Motherfucker.
Oh. Yes. So,
any good wrestling Glens?
No. I will say, to give the devil his due, listen, we all hate Glenn Gilberti.
Yeah.
That's the given.
Like, first of all, give it. Let's get it out of the way.
Get out of the way. If he were a nicer person, people would probably get, and I was gonna say that people would probably give the Disco Inferno character more leeway, because it is an annoying gimmick, and there is a way to work it where, but it got overextended. Like that Disco Inferno character was around from like the start of Nitro, or at least like from this point to all the way to like the end, and it's like it didn't need to run that long. But he right now,
in it the takes Fed some after the fucking integration.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
disgusting.
That's what I mean. So, like, but right here in this moment, in a vacuum,
okay,
this is some good heel. Where like the fact that the match is going on, and he like gets on the ring post and starts like dancing. Like, come on! Like, that's the kind of heel shit I like. And then like Mean Gene's trying to interview Dean Malenko afterwards, and he just walks behind him with his big gold record.
No, like, and that's where I'm like, what do we even say about this? Because this match, it becomes not about the match; it's about dancing on the fucking Carter Turnbuckle, and the fact that they played the music too.
So fucking weird. But like, here's the thing: I think Disco's supposed to be the face.
That's the thing.
Well, that's unfortunate
because like, all right, no, like, hear me out. The crowd is chanting "boring" at Malenko through the match. He's doing heel stuff.
Yeah, well, because he's trying to be boring. He's being right. Boring.
That's right. He's doing the character that he's being asked to do at this point.
Yeah,
and Disco is like the comedy baby face, I guess.
This is a feud for nobody. This is like a perfect mismatch of characters.
I will not disagree with that.
That's where I landed on this. Is like, is this really the? This is a match that we're getting. This is build up that we're getting. These two.
Because here's the psychology of how it could work. Because normally in this situation, you would want a Dean Malenko hard ass like Hank Hill fucking no nonsense guy doing his holds and whatever.
Yeah.
And people are chanting that it's boring. And then all of a sudden Disco Inferno comes in. You would want in a perfect world Disco to be more of like an Orange Cassidy character.
Yes.
Where it's like,
okay,
he's annoying Dean Malenko, but he's not annoying the crowd. Like the crowd is on his side, but where right. Disco fucks up is he's just annoying everybody. Cause he sucks.
Cause he's like Roberti and he sucks. And like, oh, thank you. Well said, Vin. No, and I'm trying. When I try to put myself into that, you know, where like
don't ever try that.
The mindset of like, hey, like, sense that like that's what they're thinking is like, well, we're gonna put our comedy face, but he's not a face. Just because you decide Dean Malenko is a heel does not Disco Inferno a face make. Like that's not how this works. So it ends up just being weird. Bobby Walker gets shoved into him, and then he gets the Northern Lights suplex from hell for the finisher, and the goddamn tippy toes on that bridge for Malenko.
Wow. Beautiful.
Wrestling is about extending the bridge, goddamn it. but yeah, it's just all of it's weird. The exposition corner with Mean Gene, who tries to talk to Malenko and he just shows up, is kind of fucking beautiful. The juxtaposition is just like, because he's like talking about how serious he takes the belt and shit, and then here comes this little fuck.
Nobody cares about you, they care about
gold record. Talk about it. I sold 500,000 out. Like, yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's like, you got 1,000 holds, 500,000 CDs, and it's like, the people, this is a what's he saying about television ratings. Like, this is everyone's.
Yeah, he's like, it's about entertainment. We're here to be entertained, buddy. It's like, well, it is a wrestling show. You should, you know, wrestle.
But this is what this is my thought too. Is like, okay, it doesn't make sense that they can't actually think that he's the face. They can't, because in my mind they're making Vince, like, because he's coming out here going, look, I'm the Fed, you know, And you are where the big boy is actually wrestling, and I'm the Fed, yay! And like that makes sense to me. The only other thing that makes sense, kind of fully embrace, is that Glenn Gilberti just is Disco Inferno, and he actually believes all the things that he was saying.
Yeah. he sold those million records.
he sure thinks he did. But God, what a weird, fucking weird segment.
I will tell you the weirdest part about this was when Disco's doing his dance on the corner. Malenko is just like entirely no selling it.
Yeah.
He's not looking at him. He's not reacting to the music. He's just continuing to try and beat up Bobby Walker.
Yeah, you know, exactly. he has a mission, which hurt Bobby Walker. fucking amazing. And like, I don't know, if it was anyone but Disco, maybe. But no, I can't get behind it. I can get behind Eddie Guerrero, though. And like, you were talking about someone who is solidly a face still, Eddie.
he's dressed like a Christmas sugar cookie, and he is running down to that ring.
Oh, fuck yeah. He could be my Christmas sugar cookie any day.
He had the Eddie Guerrero swagger, I think I saw for the first time. Like, he actually kind of had it a little bit.
Yeah, and he's like, he's back. Like, he's very firmly, like, back. Because, like, they show that he got hurt. And that's why he has been gone. And that is highly unfortunate. Go ahead.
They did mention he'd been at the Best of Super Juniors.
Yep. He had.
So that is the Best of Super Juniors winner, Black Tiger.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. No, that's true. He got hurt at Unset Kayfabe sent out, and then he came back. Well, also, you were at the Best of Super Juniors. Yay. Your way, he's back. I'm happy. Everyone else is very happy. This match, banger qualities. And I just wrote down that Eddie spends 5 minutes climbing Barbarian up and down like a spider monkey. And that's good enough for me. I say watch this shit, folks.
Yeah. And then, like, again, the real takeaway is that they're not really talking about the match. And then when they do the Mean Gene interview afterwards, again, it all revolves around the outsiders because they're only talking to Eddie about, like, oh, did you hear these two guys are in the building? They're somewhere. What do you think? And he's like, I wish I was on the team that's going to take them down at Bash the Beach, but I'm not. So good luck to you guys. It's like, maybe they should have put Eddie Guerrero on that team.
Yeah, no, I would have liked to have Eddie on that team. Maybe more, probably more. I'll be honest. I'm sorry, Hot Dog Man. We love you, but
Hot Dog.
he's my good hot dog boy. He's bursting at the seams. Plumps when he's you wonderful. Cook him, you know? He's wonderful. He's a himbo.
he's a himbo national hot dog.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Write that down. I got dogs barking. I got cats trying to fight each other. Folks, this apartment actively hates me being a podcaster. This match, though, does fuck. It is good. There's lots of good stuff. Barbarian hits a slam on Eddie so hard it cracked my back. If that wasn't enough, you get top rope overhead belly to belly stratosphere. Like, that's
that shit, like, was insane.
That's what I'm
saying. He
got saying.
So high on that. Oh my god.
Higher than me and pretty much every day. I got an idea. the times are tough, folks. But yeah, like, check this shit out. Like, Eddie, they're both on one. And Eddie just bumping hard and high as he is wont to do. to finish it up, though, this finish, because, like, he set it up with that belly to belly. And then he goes to try to throw him from the top again. But he just slips. And Eddie falls right on top of him. It's good for three. And, like, it looked painful. Like, it almost looked slipped. And I was like, you know, I love when you leave me. That's the best shit. But, yeah, not a bad little 5.5 minute Eddie Guerrero match versus Barbarian. And then, sure enough, Mean Gene again. They're being very, very consistent with Gene this week. He tells him he wants Conan, and I say, mm-hmm. Let's go. This is really, this feels like a setup. Like you said, this is a setup for the Bash at the Beach episode. And, like, I'm liking everything they're writing, except for not to go backwards, but Taskmaster, I just don't know what, I guess, well, going forward, because we're running into the Benoit of it all. the next Yeah, unfortunately. Because, well, and fortunately, because the next match is Arn Anderson and Benoit.
Yes.
So
this feels so appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially, like, what, during the Q&A episode, we, like, talked about how awesome Arn Anderson was for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it, as you should. And he and this is, like, they come out looking like tag team champs. Like, they look good. They look like a cohesive team. They have Mongo behind them looking like a cheerleader. Like, honestly, it works. Like, he's just, like, horsemaned out, all black, like, steampunk horseman.
Steampunk horseman.
The fucking little glasses. He's got, like, the you know what I mean.
He's got the ring.
He's got the Wild Wild West glasses.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. The Wild Wild West glasses that we all horsemen. Where were we? Yes, Horton. I'm kidding. But more importantly, I think too, here comes Rock and Roll Express. So like,
yeah.
Arn Anderson, Chris Benoit, Ricky Morton, and Robert Gibson. Okay.
Yeah. So there's. I'm fine with this match, but it's crazy to me that you look at the Rock and Roll Express here, and you're like, oh, Ricky Morton. He looks. Looks like he's getting up there in age there. How old is he? And I looked it up. He is only 38 in that match.
Good God, I thought I was a rough 38.
No, but here, this is what I wrote down too, because all I can think is, holy shit, they really have just always looked like that.
It's the, yeah.
It's the Outrunners gimmick IRL. They are the youngest alive. Like
they really always are.
They've been like 58 since 1978, and it's just I don't know, man. It's wild.
I mean, it's also just like wrestlers during that period from like the 70s, 80s, and 90s are just like they lived a hard. Their 20s and 30s were rough.
Yeah, they're born 40. Yeah, like they did.
Yeah. Just... Like, what is Arn Anderson like 26 in this episode? Like,
Arn has always been somebody's uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we come back from a commercial break right in the middle of Bobby, who is now fine because it's hour two, of course. We went to hour two and kicked him out. He's ranting about the Outsiders and the third man, and Benoit and Ricky Morton are just doing a thing, a little thing, telling us that there was technical difficulties and we missed shit. Like, oh, that's like there was no welcome back. So this was technically a broken episode of Nitro, at least the one I watched. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, I had the same thing.
Yeah, me too.
That's unfortunate, because in my opinion, this match fucking cooked. It reminded me that Rock were just pretty haircuts. Like, damn. Like they could fucking go. Again, I think that was another like people doing moonsaults that weren't expecting to do moonsaults. Like Ricky Morton, like does like basically a standing backflip at one point.
I mean, shit, he's still taking big dives.
He's got to stop. Can he stop? Can we get him to stop? Did we ask?
No, him? No, nobody asked him.
Tony Khan, please stop. Ask him to stop.
I don't think Tony Khan is going to get him to stop.
No, I think Tony Khan wants him to continue.
He's like, keep doing flips, Rick.
It's yeah.
Can you do it onto a table, onto a chair?
Rick, can we do a pile driver on you, on the chair?
Can I hit you with the chair? It's just my childhood dream to hit you with the chair. Oh, my God. No, let's do it. I mean, we saw what he did with Sting. Well, yeah. Sting wanted that. Oh, my God. I'll never forget. It's folks, I know I get repetitive. It's been a while since we talked about Sting's last match. Holy shit. No.
It was quite a way to go out.
What was that? Yeah, right? How are you going to be in your
better 60s? Retirement match than most. I'll give him that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I love how he was like, you know what? I know this is, I know I've technically already retired like, what, two, three times, but I'm not going to fucking Terry Funk this shit. Like I'm gonna get it all out in one. Like this was the actual real anything you want to see me do to my old ass body, I'm going to do tonight. And then you can never fucking ask me for anything ever again. Way to do it. I wish Ricky would. But yeah, speaking of finishes, after 9 minutes of a really solid old school tag team wrestling match, Ricky Morton's got Arn in the corner, which draws the ref's attention, and we get another behind, which is a little, not gonna lie, I'm getting a little sick and tired of this shit, Nitro. Mongo hits the other expressor, whose name I can't think of right now because of cannabis, in the face with a Halliburton suitcase for the win. Yay.
He gave him a good crack with that shit.
He really do. I don't think Mongo holds back on them swings at all. Why would he?
At the very least, it made a good sound.
It do. It very much do. On the way to commercial at one point, I forgot to mention this, and I want to make sure I do. Because, like, we talked about the switch to hour two. Tony intros Bobby, but just kind of runs on into the commercial, and right after about to go, Bobby cuts in. When do I get to?
Yes. When do I get to speak?
In a minute.
Don't worry, also, Bobby. Don't worry.
Also, we forgot a major piece of hour one.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Which
the
one?
The promo for Glacier that aired during the commercial break.
Oh, which one? The first one or the one
there
that?
Were
oh, oh, they're both.
Yeah,
the
there was
same.
One in out there. Yeah,
there each was still, hour yeah. gets one. Damn it!
That's how important
each hour gets was. One. But they are the same commercial, though. They are the same
yes,
promo.
Yes, yeah. It's just the
replay. It's they stole the Stargate from yes. SG-1. And then they, was it blood will run cold?
Blood runs cold.
Blood runs cold, yes.
Yeah, blood runs cold. And whatever money, they pumped all the money into these fucking graphics for this ad. Because I don't know about the, I think we were all watching the same version. Like, the visual, like, film quality, like, digital film quality of this Glacier ad was like, it was like the master, like someone took a master tape of something and like, this was the quality. It was insane. And then it just says like Glacier coming July 1996 to WCW, which spoiler alert, he's not.
Yeah, no.
It's already been a long time coming. They've been doing this thing. Glacier has been coming since April, which he should really see a doctor about that. But regardless.
After 4 hours, you should have called a doctor, Glacier.
Good doctor. Oh, Dr. Glacier is a good gimmick.
Dr. Glacier, Dr. DBS. Glacier. There we go.
Give you God. Some cold compress. Like from Icy Hot.
I feel Vince McMahon reaching through the ether to take that for something like three time in space.
But
the
real thing I cannot square away with Glacier is like, okay, you want to do this Mortal Kombat-esque gimmick, fine. You want to get a white dude to do karate, okay, fine. But the guy you get is like the most Johnny Unitas-ass looking guy.
Right?
Like buzz cut, like he looks like he just picked him off a cornfield. Like this is not the guy you get. And I get that he actually did apparently study karate.
Yeah, but no, he knows a martial artist. Like,
yeah,
he was a real martial artist. And you know what? When you actually watch a Glacier match, like those kicks do impress. Like he does good kicks.
Kick real good.
He kick well. Real good in that asbestos snow.
Yeah, asbestos raining from the ceiling. Yes.
So wait, was Glacier cruiserweight or did he do heavyweight?
He kind of like did a little of everything. They just kind of slide him in.
Cause yeah, like he feels like he would be fit well in the cruiserweight division, like a karate gimmick, but then
I feel like more than anything, he mostly just fights fucking Canyon in the
yeah, he fights Raph. Yeah, he fights Canyon, and then eventually he sells his gear to Kaz Hayashi, Hayashi starts wearing the Glacier gear. And that's when he becomes, that's when the original Glacier becomes, Coach Buzz Stern?
Oh my God. And then he brought it back, though. I just saw him on Hey, still riding that Glacier gimmick. He must have bought it back.
hey, Cass, can I have my year
He did
back?
It in Chikara in the 2000s.
Oh my God.
I vaguely remember him
he did in
having like a run-in with, what's his name? Norman Smiley.
Oh my God.
In Chikara?
No, not in I forget what he was in. He was at King of Trios for Chikara, but like at like it'll be in like the End of Days WCW stuff.
Oh my
like,
god!
They'll be like yes, Norman Smiley say, I hope trying to bring back Glacier to help him not get beat up all the time.
I was gonna say I hope there's like a Glacier Eddie Kingston match out there somewhere, like a Glacier Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney match. Like,
I think he teamed with the Ice Creams because that's how they would book Glacier and Chikara.
That of course they would. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, no, I kind of want an Eddie Kingston versus Glacier match now. What does that say about me? Anyways, Exposition Corner with Mean Gene again, this time in the locker room with Rick and the girls. Flair talks his usual shit. He woos so much he gets literally winded at one point.
And they do show his VIP section, which he is not at.
Yes, because he's scared.
Yeah, he's in a secure location. I think that's why he ran out of air wooing.
Yeah, he's in his bunker. He's in the woo bunker. Like,
yeah, he ran out of oxygen wooing. He just wooed too much and ran out of air in there.
Really, if we're being really honest, he's in the ladies' room.
That's why Kevin Sullivan was trying to get in.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to get to woman. Yeah, he's like, you got my wife, Leia. it's terrible. Yeah, it's weird. It's classic. It's classy. It's Flair. we come back from commercial after that. A whole lot else goes on in that one. Like, folks, it's Ric Flair talking to Gene with the girls. Do I have to say much else? The other horsemen show up. Everyone says things. Whatever. Fuck everyone who's not a horseman. We come back from commercial.
Yeah, guy from the Carolina Panthers.
Oh God. Yeah. Bobby and Tony are talking outsiders. Third man is that shit go terrified, and I say yes, yes. Think about it, Bobby. Whose side is he on? I am so ready. We have not quite got Carolina Panthers guy yet. First, Diamond Dallas Page has to fight Das Wunderkind.
Yes.
And hoping to take the dynamite diamond ring off of him. I won't be calling it that from here on out. I don't care. That's where you got it from. That's what it is to me. Dallas is pink and shiny. He's getting lots of, I think, folks. Like, I think a DDP is like, he's here.
Yeah. That was my big note for this match. He's like, this is DDP.
Thank you. Yeah, all right. So it wasn't just me. This is DDP, guys. We've been talking about it. And he's finally put it together. He's got he's chopped the cigar. He doesn't give a fuck. It's fantastic. The story of the match itself, the DDP is overconfident and Alex Wright's really good. What do you want? Like that. Alex Wright sell good. Tiny twink boy bounce off knee. Like he's a little guy. he go flying in air. Like that's like whole match. It's just four minutes of that. And I'm okay with it. Very much.
He's Das Wunder Twink. He is just there to he's there to be the designated twink for the episode.
Yeah, exactly. He's DDP's throwing twink is what he is. And
he's the lugs twink of the week.
God damn it.
He really is.
Writing that's the title. Holy shit, Vin. Oh my god. I feel like I should pay you for that one. Like that's wow. Whoo! Yo, he is. He's doing it. He's playing that fucking role. It's a short match, but it's sweet. There's twink throwing. It's DDP twink throwing. Finishes easy. Alex tries to reverse out of another gut buster and gets cuttered for his trouble. this is
and the crowd's into him. This is like the first time in the episode where the crowd is like vehemently like we're in on this DDP guy. Like they're throwing up the diamonds. Like unless Carolina is just big Jay-Z country. Like they are really.
I think they said that about the Carolinas,
it's all about Ric Flair and the Rock. Yeah, exactly. No, it's not. No, it's not Rockefeller Central. That is amazing, though. And you are right. I didn't even think to write that down, but you are correct. Like, that is the first time that I've seen people, like, throwing the fucking hands up. Like, it's, yeah. And also, watching it the way I did, nod wink, means getting the original sound. Mm. And fucking self-high five. Jimmy Hart was really cooking. Like that, like, that's a real solid Nirvana pastiche that really did a yeah. lot of work for DDP. That theme song fucking ruled. And all it's fucking great. I did like that after at the finish of the cutter, Bobby says, "Go to your room, kid, it's over." and I was like, yeah, that fucking wraps it up. In a nice little bow, Bobby.
They were really trying to get the diamond cutter over hard at this point.
It's working for fucking me, I tell you that much. And they never stopped, as far as I could tell. Like, that's become one of those, that was one of those moves, like the pedigree. You don't kick out of that.
Oh, and you know they got it over because he hits the diamond cutter and then, like, hot dogs for, like, a good 5 seconds before going over to pin him.
Yep. I'm in no fucking rush. This guy is not getting up. Yeah, exactly. It's all over. Go to your room, kid. Well said, Bobby. Gene decides he's got to talk to DDP about all this mess. He threatens Dallas with Jim Duggan. And I'm like, that's
I love how he just shits on Jim Duggan the whole time. He's like, right. Jim Duggan wants to tape his hands, he can tape his hand. He wants to tape his mouth, he wants to tape his whole body, he can tape his whole body.
What was his grandma's, like, some tape fisted bimbo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his grandma's a tape fisted bimbo.
Holy shit.
It's like, nice callback, actually.
Yeah, actually, yeah, now you remembered the bullshit story about his grandma being an Irish tape fist fighter. That's a hell of a callback. Hey, folks, patreon.com/MNFFM.
DDP watches the show.
Yeah.
or he watches Saturday night.
Yeah, he watches Saturday night because he saw him go to Ireland that looked a lot like Boston. It was wild.
He's the Patreons.
And then, yeah, right? But then we get the second Blood Run Cold teaser.
Yes.
In Each of Us burns the fury of a warrior, goddammit.
I really thought it was an ad for Stargate first time I saw it.
That's what I was saying. Like, I saw that for like a second.
Right. It is the Stargate. I was like, yeah. Wow, we got a Stargate on this this stream that I'm watching. Oh, it's Glacier.
Yeah, it was like, at first I was like, oh, I didn't know SG-1 started in 96. I was like, oh,
yeah. Oh, wait, no, it's Glacier. Just came out. Shit. Yeah. No, good. But it's just Glacier. It's just Glacier. He'll be here soon. No, he won't. We come back, and now Gene is talking to Kevin Green, who is still fucking here for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is, in fact, a history of dudes pro wrestling on the offseason of the NFL. That's like a thing that was, like, common. And I guess Kevin wants to bring that back.
But it rings very hollow because, like, the audience doesn't know that. So all they know is this guy just came out and is like, I was in a feud with Mongo, but I'd love to beat his ass right now, but I got like 12 weeks of football to deal with, so bye. Maybe in the offseason, it's like, well, who cares then? Like, I mean, you'll be back in the spring? Like,
at the very least, he was like a hometown player, and I think
I
did do a journalism. I looked him up. He was like signed as a free agent to Carolina that summer for their second season. And I guess people were excited for him.
Well, that's part of also why he was there to begin with, because Blair loves football in Carolinas.
It'll be like, well, I got to go to mandatory minicamp. I'll be back in like 20 weeks, maybe. Like,
but the way he puts it too is, well, when the season's done, I'm going to kill Mongo dead with a rifle.
that was a weird. He's like, guys, I got my scopes on him. I'm going to shoot him dead. I'm like, okay, I'm down.
Violence, yeah. All right, man. See you after the off season. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
I'm gonna steal his cool fucking Burger King glasses. I need them.
Oh god, yeah, right. Oh,
why was Burger King selling glasses? Because they did it for that, and also, well, ironically, another Will Smith, but Ben in Black.
They did do that, didn't they?
Burger King always had stuff like that, from what I remember. Like, I remember they used to
do watches.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the Nightmare Before Christmas watches, and
yes, I did the Lost World Jurassic Park watches.
Ooh. Yeah, like that was back when, like, you could get kind of cool stuff from fast food restaurants. Like, you go to McDonald's, you can get a glass with lead paint on it.
I was just talking to someone the other day about, like, the coolest fast food toy ever that was wasted on, like, the worst property was, do you remember when the Inspector Gadget movie came out?
Yeah.
And I love the Inspector Gadget cartoon. I'm talking strictly about that stupid Matthew Broderick movie. Yes. And they made it so that, like, if you got all the toys from McDonald's, you could put them together and make, like, a fully formed, like, Inspector Gadget, like, Voltron, like, action figure. But it was just Matthew Broderick. It was a Matthew Broderick figure. Like,
build your own Matthew Broderick.
It was like, I want fucking Don Adams. I want the real Inspector Gadget. I don't want this fucking Jamoke. Like, I don't want Dr. Popolopoulos or whatever his name was from Godzilla. Like,
Dr. Popolopoulos.
Oh, no, I want other Matthew Broderick characters in Transformer form in Burger King. I want him playing the guy, the fucking graham cracker guy, try to get people to stop jerking off with wheat cereal. Like, yeah. they play that guy. But where's
they should put that guy in a Happy Meal.
yeah, Matthew Broderick from Election. Like,
yeah, bring back the
graham cereal. Yeah.
Kellogg. Yeah. Kellogg.
That was Anthony Hopkins was the guy who's trying to make people stop jacking off. Matthew Broderick was just jacking off.
Yeah, no, he was one of the guys jacking off. I forgot. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
I hate how many times I've seen that movie. Thanks, Comedy Central.
Yeah, I was going to say, they played it on TV all the fucking time on Comedy Central. And it would show up in between my Mystery Science theaters. No one liked that.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it was this. Speaking of no one liking that, Kevin Green sticks around. Because it's Randy Savage versus VK Wall Street time. And, like, Macho has to have Kevin Green with him, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. This was weird. This was, like, a surprisingly, like, underwhelming match.
Yeah, I was a little saddened by how underwhelming this was.
You know what it is? Because I think, like, you see Macho come out and you're thinking, like, okay, this is going to be, like, a main event. Like, Macho's here. Like, this is going to be great. But then it was almost like, okay, this is almost like not a piss break match, but like, it was like, we're cooling things down for a couple minutes before we get to the big weird, three way. Can we just jump past this?
Yeah.
There's not really much to say about this match.
It really wasn't.
Four and a half solid minutes. It's over. Macho hits the elbow for three. Yeah. Like,
I want to talk about, is there anything else like before the final match or was that?
Well, I want to shout out Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan. Agreeing that they should beat up Gene Okerlund after the show.
Yes, that's always fucking good. I had that.
So, like, just confirming that, yeah, it's true. Tony Schiavone has always been a shit stirrer.
Yeah. Yes, and so, always down to clown. Yeah.
So we're at the main event, and I'm very confused because this fucking match is for the tag team titles. It's Sting and Luger. It's the Steiners. It's Harlem Heat. Okay, I got that. Yeah, it's a triangle match. But it's like, they make this whole to-do about, like, well, if they're not in the ring, like, they could lose and not even enter the ring.
Yeah,
but, like,
whoever the like, man is.
I
but, like, so only two teams like can be in it. But, so, like, only two. I didn't really quite understand the rules. So, like, only two teams can be in at once?
Yes.
Yes.
So if two teams are in at once, then, like, why would you ever tag, like, the third team in?
That's what I fucking said when Steiner tagged out to Sting.
Like, why would you fucking do that?
Why did you do that? You were winning.
Like, they have the belts. Why would anyone ever tag in? I like, the only thing I can come up with is maybe it's one of those things, like the logic that they have is you're about to lose, like, you're right there on the brink of losing, so you're so desperate. You're like, I gotta take a break. I'm gonna let this team jump in.
Right, or usually when you see it, you try and keep your opponent out of the other team's corner so that they can't tag themselves in that way. But it's still,
but then like also it's a tag match. So like if you're tired, like you would just tag your partner in.
Right. Like I I never really like the psychology of matches like this when they do it. That doesn't ever.
I like a triangle tag match is okay, but I can't see why you would do it for a championship or anything with real stakes. Because of everything you just said, if it has real stakes, then it's like it doesn't make sense. Like doing it as a match is cool, like a triangle. You know, because then you just get like a triangle match between singles. That's good. You know, yeah, that's like, fine.
And then because one team I don't even know if they had to do it this way, but the Steiners were like blocking the hard cam, so you couldn't even see half the match because they're on the front side of the camera.
Like, yeah, I think they just weren't paying that much attention. It was kind of a clusterfuck. I like the intros though. The intros were fun. Everyone came out real good. Harlem Heat comes out and Booker T's on a cell phone call. Bobby says he's ordering pizza. followed by the Steiners, and then Rick appears to get spooked by his own pyro. And that reminds me, 4th of July is coming up, folks. So please think of the other dogs in your neighborhood, like Puppy Boy
Steiner. Like Rick Steiner.
That will get scared by the fireworks.
Get him a Thunder shirt.
Yeah,
a very, very large Thunder shirt for Lex, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, Rick Steiner needs to feel like he's being hugged, otherwise he's
gonna... he's gonna freak he's out. He's gonna go crazy. And then finally, a man called Sergeant Stinger's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Ooh, that jacket.
That jacket is something else, the pink and the black and the ooh. He doesn't bring it out often, and when he does, it seems to be for no fucking reason that I can think of.
No.
And it's completely random. Like that. Just totally at fucking random. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, so they're having this big clusterfuck, and then, like, again, they're talking the whole time about, like, all these guys are here, what's going on? And then it finally happens. They come down, Hall and Nash come down from the rafters. Not the rafters. Let me get sound like they're flying down. They're walking down from the stands, and they've got baseball bats.
Yeah, they came down from the stand. Yeah, they had man. They acted like those bats were like gonna.
They acted like the bats were guns. They were like the bats, the aluminum bats. They got the aluminum bats. I'm like, okay, they're aluminum bats. Like,
well,
the security hurts. Okay, but then my favorite part of the whole episode: security rushes in. And they make it a point to show that, like, these guys are all reaching for their real ass guns.
Like, no, what the fuck?
Like, two guys are like, okay, two guys have quote invaded with baseball bats, and you're gonna like shoot them?
are supposed to be like sheriff's deputies. They all had their fucking hands on their guns. Like, are you serious right now?
That's
trained. One of these guys is gonna think this is real and just shoot them.
There's no kayfabe bullets, like
but no, the what's crazy about this before it even gets there, because that's after the match is over, do they start reaching for the actual guns. But first and foremost, what's wilder to me than that, you get this match, the match is fun, it's like 10 minutes, it's, you know, we skipped over 10 minutes of a good solid meat throwing match because this match is fun, be a shame if something were to happen to it. And here comes Kevin Scott with the bats. Now, the ring floods with pigs and security guards, right? But the match doesn't end.
No.
Stevie Ray rolls Luger up for the win. We have new tag team champs, and nobody fucking cares.
Nobody noticed.
No one even noticed it happened. They had to tell us on commentary.
This moment right here where no one cared and then the titles changed is like the ultimate precursor to why the NWO would be like the death knell for W, why it would be like a slow decline, because that became everything. Because it tells you everything you need to know. Because NWO, cool. We need to see what the NWO is doing. Everything else, we're training you to think it's just bullshit. It's like all mid card. Don't care about the tag titles. Like, we're not giving you any reason, and they put themselves in such a hole because of that. That they eventually went out of business.
It's kind of the story. It becomes the story of the whole thing because they have to keep upping it. Because they just did it with the tag titles. Here, who cares about the fucking tag team titles? But with that mentality, you end up with the finger poke of doom, which will
get
the kids. You end up with, God bless him, David Arquette. And everything else. And it leads to the downfall. But this is... It's like that first, like the first time you ever got real high, like on some real good weed. And it's like, you're never going to actually get that high again. You'll get high, sure. You'll never be that high again in your entire life.
Right? Yeah, like don't let some history buffs fool you. Like, Wolfpack NWO was hot. Like, yeah. The crowds were loving it. But was it as hot as, like, the first six months of the NWO? No.
This isn't even fucking NWO yet. This is just them showing up with bats and everyone acting like they're gonna, like, open fire on the crowd. Yeah. And like, fuck yeah, that's how you do it, I guess, you know?
Yeah, like, it really is the kind of thing where you get what they were going for.
Yeah.
And then they just kept doing it.
And yeah, that's a way to go home. Tony says we're in a state of emergency on Nitro like ever
before. Bobby Heenan's like, I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving you behind.
I'm fucking leaving. They're here to split wigs. Baseball bats mean you mean business, he says. Like old gangster, like untouchables, like, you know, like we're sending one of theirs to the morgue. Yeah, Bobby, we get it.
Man.
Like, you're on your own. No, I'm out of here. Like,
man, get out of here, kid. I'm splitting the hooch, Tony. Like,
yeah, he's out. So that's Nitro. What a Nitro. It had its ups and downs. It had its disco inferno. But overall, that was a hell of a show. And I was on the edge of my seat through most of it.
I really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking A. And that brings us right into fucking Raw, doesn't it?
Hey, cover me. I gotta get this out quick. Hey, sicko, my coworkers at the cafe stuck my phone into me so I can update y'all. Well, old guy got herself in a bit of a situation, a carceral conundrum, if you will. Turns out the law is enforced by a bunch of white supremacists in this city. Can't keep a free bird down, though. I've made plenty of friends in here, even got a bit of a federation going to pass the time. You know how you should pass the time? You can give 5-star reviews of the podcast wherever you listen. And, you know, check out patreon.com/MNFFpod and get bonus episodes for $5 a month and your name on the show for only $7.50. Speaking of cash, it's hot as hell here this week, and some of my friends I've met have said that Sanctuary Supply Depot in Minneapolis is a life-saving group that keeps unhoused people supplied the best they can during dangerous heat domes like this. You should check them out at their Linktree/Sanctuary Supply Depot, and help out however you can. Oh, sounds like I'm up. Better get to strutting. All right, whose ass am I dropping?
Fucking Raw.
Fucking Raw. No. It's live, pal. They're live this time. Isn't that great? There's no time for an intro because we're live in Green Bay, and Ahmed's got to squash Triple Paul real quick.
Yeah.
I wish he fucking squashed him.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
It spent way too fucking long.
It really fucking did. Ahmed's still wearing the gold IC belt from his victory last night, and honestly, I'm sad
he
changed it back. I really love the look of that belt.
The gingerbread IC belt.
Yes, yeah, the gold on gold. And I'm like, yes, more of this.
But it's like, you can really tell just like from the rip on this Raw episode, the difference just in presentation. Like, Nitro is like exciting and there's lights and pyro and like they have all these like dynamic but subtle like camera pans, like when they're coming back from commercial, to show like the big crowd and again like the lighting sort of bouncing off the lens, like they're doing all this cool shit, and then you cut over to Raw and again like the aesthetic is just like soft, like a bad softcore porn. Like, it's just, it's smoky, it's dank, like the set, it looks very, very cheap. It's just still like the big Raw letters with a little like screen inside the A. And again, the outfits, we'll get to the outfits, but like they all just look like Dollar Tree, like bullshit that someone sewed together.
But more importantly, and, you know, you say softcore porn, and this man may have set the vibe. I get settled in to pay attention to these two learned, talented athletes, students of the game, warriors of the squared circle. Give us a clinic in the sweetest of sciences. Sweeter, dare I say, than boxing. Sport of kings! Almost immediately, some bros stand up with a 3-panel long sign reading Eric B. Sucks Dick. And a tear comes to my eye because I love this sport.
I'm proud to be an American.
Just fucking saluting it. Wow.
Dicks. I pledge allegiance to Suck Dick.
Yeah. I can't help it, but when you, like, the thing though, then I notice, like, I'm looking at it, the B is super tiny, right?
Right, it just says Eric Suckdick. I was like, who are we talking about?
Yeah, I didn't know it was a B at first until I zoomed in. I was like, that's like Eric's Suckdick? Like,
which what is tells that? Me like, that obviously it was added after the Eric was fully written. So my headcanon tells me that the dude's name is Eric, and when he realizes what he has done, he's like, ah, man, like, get the P on there.
Maybe he just wants everyone to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Just well, yeah. Maybe Eric was coming out. We shouldn't take this from him. But oh my god, yeah, it's a weird thing. And then to continue the softcore porn vibe of it all, about halfway through, they decide, fuck the wrestling. All my homies hate wrestling. Let's talk to Goldust. So they go into the thing that they do even more than WCW, where they go person in person interview in the middle of a fucking match, and I hate that shit.
I was so mad. I was like, you've made me mad to see a Goldust promo.
Exactly. That's what I was really. Like, how dare you? Even Goldust is not happy he's there. He gives like the most mid Goldust promo we have heard yet. Like honestly, he's working with some shit material though. Like. We could do. It's just get out there and be gay as hell and do a racism, kid. And like,
yeah,
he did a racism. My God,
he really did. Yeah. Oh God. But the finish of this, almost like a mirror of how it was going for Paul only 3 months ago. Triple Paul puts his head down for a back body drop, and instead he gets the Pearl River Plunge for his trouble. Same setup. Is the pedigree too, and everything, and that pleased me. I was like that. This is like, what the fuck? Oh, how the tables have turned, sir. Yeah, not the greatest
not great.
Opening match. Not great.
Not good. It really, like, it's Ahmed Johnson should have just squashed him because he was really getting this gigantic push at the time.
Yeah.
No, and then he went out and had this stinker with Hunter.
Where they weren't even paying attention to him. And it's like the night after he won the title. And like,
right.
Like, yeah, they really, and everyone always says, like, no, we wanted to push him real hard and it just didn't work. I'm like, really? Did you really want to push him that hard? Because, like, you're doing this shit. And, like,
yeah, you could have pushed him harder.
Like, the crowd was really into him. Like, that's like my takeaway from having seen him on this whole. Like,
yeah.
The crowd was like very into Ahmed Johnson.
So I have a question about this crowd. So maybe this is a big conspiracy theory. But at one point, Vince McMahon cuts a promo for Burger King. And that's when it kind of came together for me. Because the whole time before that, I was looking into the first row of this crowd.
Do you see the fucking row of Kings?
Yeah, there was like a row of people in Kings hats. And like up to that point, I was thinking like, maybe there's some weird, I mean, I can't understand why, but like maybe they're weird like Jerry Lawler fan. I don't know what the fuck, but they're all wearing crowns. And once he cut that Burger King promo, I was like, are they all fucking wearing Burger King crowns? Some weird like viral marketing?
Can I give you an alternative?
Yes.
I was born and raised in Wisconsin, unfortunately. And this is happening in Green Bay. There is a very high chance that those 18 to 22 year olds in that front row in those Burger King crowns were just plaster drunk and had gone to Burger King earlier before the show. It, like that was my, I didn't even think about the promo because I was like, no, that tracks. I saw that and I was like, that's home. Like those guys, like that, you'll see that.
But regardless of how we got there, they are all wearing Burger King crowns.
Yeah. No,
yes, they definitely are. They 100%
I'm just saying it could be organic. Is what I'm saying.
See, this is like the best thing on the show. They're like the people wearing the Burger King crowns. This and the Eric Suck Dick sign, like that.
Yes. And no, because it's all fucking downhill from here. Again, like Doc Hendricks tries to interview Ahmed about being the first African American IC champ, and it's just not good.
Didn't really launch. Failed to launch.
Yeah, he did try to declare himself the People's Champion before Rocky did, which was kind of cool.
Well, he ain't too hard to find, so.
Yeah.
Ain't too far to find.
Yeah, ain't too far to find. And he is out of breath because he doesn't feel like he needs to do cardio, and that's fine. Near do I, but that's why I'm not a wrestler. It's 1990s America. Everyone was colorblind, so he says some shit about green people. The accidents at traffic lights were horrifying in the 90s, folks. You have no idea. It just goes downhill. Like, they really just, they're like, right off the bat, let's see how racist we can be. And then they're like, hold our beers, because if the racism wasn't enough for you, let's do the most transphobia.
God.
Everyone get ready.
This was not good. So you guys know how there's Sonny?
Yeah.
You guys like Sonny?
This is the joke. Get the joke.
It's so
but
funny.
What if we did someone, get this, they're not Sonny. They're cloudy.
And they're trans.
They got a dick. It's so funny because the dick.
Cloudy with a K.
Cloudy
with a chance of transphobia. Like,
you, see,
this was not like, good. This was, yeah, no, go ahead.
I just want to say, like, Garrick mentioned cloudy the night before I watched this at the, we did the King watch the party Ring. For King fucking of Ring, King of the yeah. Ring. I missed
so I knew what was
the
body
Donnas. Garrick is like, oh, you missed Cloudy. I was like, I don't remember Cloudy at all. I'm just not. And then I was really not prepared for that much. Like, especially because like they had to do the entire thing. Like, let's do the national search for the fucking Body Donna's new manager, because everybody wants to fucking be the Body Donna's. And they had to do all the body shaming in that too. And then they go out and they're like, and check it out, it's the funniest thing possible.
Yeah, like this could have been.
God.
This could have been a great bit in the right hands. Not the transphobic stuff. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, I was kidding. Whoa.
It's like, wait, what?
No, I'm not taking a hard.
You're on the wrong show, fucker. Yeah,
I'm not taking a hard right turn now. But like the idea of, okay, this manager left, so now we're gonna do a worldwide contest for a new manager.
Oh god,
like that could have been amazing.
That could have been awesome.
Had a new star. You could have made a new star, possibly. Like, but instead, you were just like, that's a bait and switch. We're going to dress a man up like a lady. And then, like, I think Claudia only had three appearances. And good that they only had three appearances.
Yeah, this is number two. So we got one more to deal with at some point. I don't want to jump over what you mentioned with the search. Because these men... Remember that picture of Ben Shapiro doing the Matrix cosplay with the katana? This is like if that came to life and sent videos of himself trying to be like the new Sonny.
Those videos were why I remind myself that I did not actually try and become a professional wrestler, because I look like a dick whenever I did
these young men willfully sent physical videotapes of themselves doing this.
Only to get roasted by Jerry Law.
Yeah, and like you had to know that's what was going to happen.
That's insult to injury right there.
Yeah. Oh, he was doing all the low hanging fruit. He's like, that girl's too skinny. That girl's too fat. Like, it's like, okay, Jerry.
All of this is bad. All of this is terrible. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like any of this.
Fuck you, Jerry Springer. Not Jerry Springer. Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jerry Lawler. Fuck you,
Jerry Springer. Fuck Jerry Springer for giving.
Fuck Russo Jerry Seinfeld.
Fuck Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Lynn, I think he said a.
No, we love Jerry.
Yeah.
But, well, did he?
But we love Jerry Lynn. We do. We don't like Jimmy Shoulders, who is Chris Candido's friend who is playing Cloudy. Because that's a thing I had to look up. That's
Jimmy Shoulders?
Jimmy Shoulders he's a wrestler. He's an actual pro wrestler. He's an indie guy who's a friend of Candido's. And he's doing very low effort Sonny drag, is what I would call it. I think Sonny invented turfism in this episode too, like the way she's
talking
about her.
Yeah.
Specifically as a trans lady, I was like, I know those lines.
This was,
this sucks so much.
Like, there has been bad matches on this watch through, but this was just like,
I couldn't even pay attention to the match.
Violent, like I was like very violently like trying to like not punch my computer screen.
Yeah, Sonny keeps referring to Cloudy as it, and I'm like, that's not her pronouns, goddammit. Lawler surprised me, and he went for like a low-hanging tattoo shaming joke on her, which I was like, that's actually a relief. But yeah, it was just a lot of like.
And then they had her like climb into the crowd after Lawler, and like the crowd is predictably like oh fuck you, what are you doing, blah, blah.
Yeah, they,
like
this is not they just tried to do like this, look at this person who's trying to do an assault. Well there was one point during after the match when Cloudy comes up to the booth to go after Sonny, and there's a dude behind Sonny in the crowd who's just like flexing at Cloudy, and I just wrote down chaser.
There's always one.
So you know, Cloudy, there you go. It's just, yeah, all of this sucks. So now for something entirely different. Marty Jannetty is fighting Sean next week. So here's a video package about how sad he is and Sean rules, and I'm just like, Marty's leaving, isn't he?
Watching this video, it really did dawn on me that the whole like, oh, who's the Michaels, who's the Jannetty of this tag team is entirely fucking Vince's creation.
Yes. No, he did like, it on purpose.
Like he
could have made two stars.
Right.
He like, just didn't want to.
Like people think Jannetty sucks because he was a bad wrestler. No, he sucks because he got ran down for like 5 years after Sean beat him up.
Yeah, no, he sucks because you were told to hate him.
Yeah, like all these guys like Vince, Trump, like they all try and like pit people against each other. So it's like you could hold back and do the smart thing and make two stars. But in their mind, it's almost like, oh, well, it's much more entertaining for me if I pit them against each other and one comes out like the strongest. It's like that's not how you should do it.
And everything we hear about is that, like, well, Jannetty fucked that up. I'm like, I don't know. I'm watching this. Like, we've been doing this show over a year now, and like, Jannetty is consistently a good hand, and like really good. Like I haven't seen him have a really bad match yet.
No, but to be fair, like, his personal life is very
is fucked. Yeah, and that's no, and he is like, there is all of that of it too. But like
but there is the fact of like, would he have gotten cleaned up if he ended up being a bigger star?
Especially considering how much of a mess Michaels was in this era.
Yeah.
And he continually got chance after chance.
And in the meantime, you have this video package of like, look at this sad sack of shit. I've come around on the fact that like this was on purpose. This was done, like this was done to Marty Jannetty on purpose. I'm sure his personal shit did not help like at all. But this was, yeah, they did that shit to him. He couldn't come back from that because they didn't want him to come back from that. And I've been watching enough of it to feel like, I don't know, because I've been watching them kind of just continue to not know what to do with him and it's not because he's not good, it's because you don't know how to book him. And like, yeah, it became like, instead of admitting that I don't know how to book him, I'm gonna convince all of you that he just has always sucked is basically what he did instead. And, and yeah, like you said, it's the Trump, it's the Vince of it all, it's gaslighting, it's what they did.
But maybe after this promo they'll have something really good.
Yeah, you'd think maybe there'll be something super awesome. Cornette replaces Sonny on commentary.
Cornette takes the cup here.
One starlet for another.
I find myself wondering if I could get a root canal instead, you know? Like, is God damn it. It's, yeah. So we get the trios match that the It's funny because we get a trios match and we got a triangle match as the main event last time on Nitro, and I wonder if they coordinated. But it's, what did I write here? Camp Cornette versus the House Faces. it's like what we got here. We get like a minute of Barry Horowitz versus Owen Hart, though, and I'm the kind of sicko that wants that entire match.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that was cool as shit.
Like, you know, let's fucking give it to him. Like, give those guys more than a minute.
This match woke me up a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. Everyone in here is pretty solid. And also, Alva Montoya is there. And
yeah.
I kid. He had a couple really pretty drop kicks. I just like giving Justin incredible shit. I can't help it. Yeah, but it was not bad. I will say the best bit, though. Like, my favorite part was the finish. Was fucking amazing. Because you got Bulldog throws Aldo into the corner. Then he throws Vader into Aldo. Then he catches him and does a running power slam. And then instead of pinning him, which I thought he was going to do, he takes Owen in. And Owen does, like, the jump up and down. Yeah, I get to beat him!
Yeah.
And throws the sharpshooter at him for the win. And I'm just like, exquisite. Do it again. I like, you could end 3 to 4 more trios matches exactly like that, and I'd pop every time.
What actual entertainment on this fucking wasteland of a show?
Yeah, right? Like, this is actual, the like, humor and thought, like, went into this. Like, Owen came up with this in the back, I bet. Like there's effort here. This is amazing.
Easily a match of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Just for the finish. Even, I mean, when we see what the main event's about to be, yeah, I'm sad. Cause this, yeah, well, we go to commercial with Pill as Pillman is crutching himself out to Vince ringside. There's a quick, I don't know what to call this. It's not a promo. It's a commercial. It's an A-list commercial for Ultimate Warrior. I think.
Like, oh, the Ultimate Warrior school.
Disturcity, yeah, and it's like if you believe in the Ultimate Warrior, you too can do the impossible. And then it's like this kid who is in a wheelchair who was bench pressing, and it's like the fact that you're calling that the impossible makes me feel bad.
Yeah,
like I feel like you're doing the.
I think you're doing the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like the handy capable thing. Like,
just straight up 90s. It's like, look, let's pat ourselves on the back for showing that people in wheelchairs can do things.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, the fact that you're doing that is actually gross, though. Do you not see how that's worse? Like, what you're doing is worse.
Yeah, they're people too. It's like, well, no, they are.
Shit.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Bet you thought this guy could walk. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
It's like,
at the Warrior Academy, you can.
Like, even in the 90s, it would have been just like, I assume that a guy in a wheelchair that's that muscular could probably do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is it.
Like, what are we doing? Am I supposed to be impressed?
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up that you're just assuming a guy in a wheelchair is not human. You know, and again, maybe it's because I know it's Vince, and I know it's Warrior, and I know who they are. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've tried to put myself back to that place in the 90s, and I'm just like, I don't know. Even then, I'm confused. Like, what am I supposed to get from this? I don't know. Warrior. Gross. Fucking amazing. But what's actually amazing, though, Pillman here, he's on fire. He says, he's out on his crutches. He's like, I've been here a week. Where's my goddamn money?
Damn straight. Pay that man. Like,
fuck yes. Pay him, Vince. And Vince says, all due respect, you gotta get in the ring first, pal. And like, he just mugs Vince hard. Like, he doesn't even finish talking, just fuck you. And like, Vince apologizes for Pillman's badass language. Oh no. But I want that. Like, I want that. I want them to just keep doing that. Can you please just come out and go bitch pay me every week?
Yeah.
Oh,
this was them starting to peel back the curtain, wasn't it? Because, like, nobody knows Vince is the guy actually writing the checks.
Kind of. They've touched on it a little bit, but it's been so long. That's the thing. They weren't, like, hitting me in the face with it every week. Because, like, Diesel, what, like, 7 months ago, kind of let slip, well, I know you're the one who's booking and blah, blah, blah. And he tried to be like, oh, we're talking about it. And, yeah, so, like, they've been bending it a little bit. I just love the audacity of him being there a week. Clearly he hasn't wrestled because he's on crutches and going, fucker, pay me. That, god damn it, that's so good. I love Paul. I love Pillman. Pillman is, fuck. like I said last time when he first showed up, last week, this is the first I've seen him actually showing up, because when I started watching, he was already Hart Foundation. Mm-hmm. So, like, I never saw this transition, and it's exquisite. He really pulled it off.
Good transition, Brian.
Yeah, good transition.
Congratulations.
Brian.
Congratulations.
Well done. Maybe you could have saved her. But then we main event. I wrote here Undertaker versus Stone Cold, like randomly on a Monday night. This seems
yeah, like, I thought I missed something. I was like,
yeah, it's, I guess like. Because Taker lost, Austin won.
Kinda.
Like the night before. The night before.
The night before, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, this is, like, main event guy that just got beat versus the hot new, not hot new deal.
Yeah.
Not quite yet, but, like.
But it's all a vehicle for gold dust.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was, okay.
Which I'm into, but I'm. I can't really imagine.
Theoretically,
I'm into Goldust.
But I just, like, I get angry at Vince doing this over and over, where he's like, here's some wrestling. No, it's not about the wrestling. And making it about anything other than the thing in front of us. And it was really stark for me here, because, like, the fact that we're looking at it's The Undertaker and Stone Cold, like, this is like, whoa. But it's not, because it's early in June of 1996, so it's not yet.
So we gotta have Jerry Lawler running around the ring trying to interview Paul Bearer.
For some fucking no good reason. Because that's the other thing, is that, like, this match cooked, kinda, all things considered. I find myself wondering, how is this newly hatched rattlesnake gonna find... Is he gonna get anything fun out of Taker? Like, on a Monday night, like, this isn't a pay-per-view. Like, Taker doesn't want to take, like, hard bumps on a Monday night. He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I'm going to get, like, big spots out of Taker on a Monday night. Like, let's see how this goes. And, I don't know, it's such good shit, because Steven watches, though, his whole extended intro, and he just does not look impressed. And, like, that, for me, like, set that set... the vibe for this whole match, and I was like, I'm in. Like, I'm in. He just doesn't care. Like, he comes out, no, I'm dead. And Steve's just like, I'm gonna hit you now, and just goes in out right away. Like, I don't fucking care. Awesome. And even when Mark slows it to the witch pace, Steven Selling keeps the heat up. Like, I am pleased.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
There was even like Taker even sold the leg. I was like, what? Austin's working the leg and Taker's selling it. What?
It's like, well, he kind of fucking had to, because he's like, wow, you're doing actual psychology on me. I have to, like, actually do it. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm a good wrestler. Like, it's what you should have been doing. Yeah, apparently this match gets boring, though, for Dustin in the back, because him and Marlena come out to commentary booth to sprinkle us with some of that good gay shit. And
they don't really do anything. Like, he gets there, he sits down, he's like staring.
Yeah,
staring a little more, and then he gets up, he goes in, he hits him with, I don't know, feces. I don't know what he throws at.
It was glitter. Holy shit!
Sand. It was glitter.
He got his pocket glitter. Sand. Yeah.
Oh,
he goes up. Steven gets caught with the choke slam. Poor Steven. He gets set up for the tombstone, and then Goldust like, fuck that. Pocket sand and gold in the face for the DQ. It was an okay match all in all. Like, it was a good match for Taker, I suppose. But it was just, it heated up a little, and then it cooled way down. And then they brought Dustin out, and I was like, I should like this. You're making me not like this. like this is, I don't like how this is booked. It's a bunch of my favorite people, but like not doing cool things. And then there's Pocket Sand, and that was fun. I did like
that. That was fun. There was so much fucking glitter on Austin.
So, like, because, yeah, after the fact, they go, we see his face.
Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God. He's.
I had a good laugh at that, yeah.
Yeah, that might have to be the cover.
Again, the show. Once again, softcore porn.
Yeah.
You know what? No. Yeah. I was like, wait, what did this turn into?
Rock hard Steve Austin.
He got gold cockied, is what happened there.
Christ.
Yeah, Goldust says that Taker will never rest in peace when he gets in the ring with him for a sequel. And that's, like you said, the whole match is just about the fact that Goldust is here. Whatever. That's it. That's the weird end of Raw, is poor Taker covered in gold. Final thoughts on Raw, folks?
Shit.
Yeah,
terrible bullshit. Set it on fire.
Yeah,
really quite bad. That was the most angry I've been watching Raw.
Raw only gets 2 Burger King crowns out of 10.
Yeah. If anything, I'm actively do not want it. That was not the way I wanted it. I was not having it my way.
It's so disappointing because, like, the last time I was on, the Raw was, like, really good, actually.
Yeah. And no, they've been having good nights on occasion.
Just not tonight.
No, not tonight. Tonight was all about trying to sell tickets in Vancouver, I guess. Because, like, not, like, just can you let a single match happen without an interview or commentary or a run-in? No. Okay.
Oh, you're going to take us for international incidents. Like, okay.
And I think it's a good look, because, like, yeah, they did that, but, I mean, Nitro was doing that for Bash at the Beach, but they did it in a way where it was exciting. They did the show not tell of it, you know what I mean? And whereas, like, Vince just does not know how to do that. He is not a storyteller. He is a promoter. No. He can tell you to come. I can tell you in wonderful words to buy the thing. But I can't, like, make you want it. You know, Nitro's making us want it. And this whole Raw was just telling us that something was coming without
Raw. Nitro's making me want Glacier.
And that, yeah, holy shit. That's...
He's got a fucking Stargate. I want to see that guy wrestle.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, needless to say, Nitro won. If we're selling Vin on Glacier, oof. They're on fire. Well, fuck.
Yeah.
We did it. That was it. That was a week of grabs. Hell yeah.
That's one way to describe what we watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was certainly my week of grabs. I didn't know more. I got to record another one of these in a few days. you don't have to. That's why we have the rotating co-host. But thank you, Vin, for putting yourself through this. Thank you for coming on. We've been talking about getting you on here for a while. Friend of the club, let people know where they can find you, all the things you do, most importantly where they can send you money if you need. I like when my people send guests money. I don't know why I'm weird like that.
Yeah, you can go follow me on Blue Sky, Vin Forte, Forte, at B Sky, whatever, you know, the Blue Sky handle. It'll probably be linked down below.
Yes.
Yeah, and then vinforte.substack.com, where I do 2 articles a week, a lot of times about music, sometimes about wrestling. I have a couple wrestling articles up in the archive right now, one about the new La Parca in AAA.
Yes.
Remembering the, basically doing a dive back into the opening of the WCW Nitro Grill.
Nice. We were just
and a couple, it's where the big boys eat, and then a couple other things. So go check that out. Go subscribe. It's free. It's DD free. I don't know where I was going.
DD
with that.
Free. No,
it's duty
free. And it's duty free. It's duty free. But if you would like to pay a little bit of duty, You can, there is like a $5, just throw me a little, you know, coffee every month tier that you can
throw
sign
your
up
duty for. So
do that. Yeah, throw your duty at me. Be like Goldust. Just like hit me with
hit duty.
Wow, this took a turn.
Yeah, that took a turn for the worst. Folks, thank you for being here. I think we are all a little loopy and ready for this show to be done. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for being here, Ben. We will have to have you back again soon. And if folks, check out the Patreon, as I'm sure someone has already told you because of how this works. Vin likes to hang out at the Patreon watch parties a lot, too. So if you need more Vin, patreon.com/MNFF. But in the meantime, we will see you next week with more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. K-Bye.
Bye.